Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Ed and Walker. And now Steve Jordahl joins us in studio. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody. How you doing?
Doing well. I think I speak for everybody.
Yes,
pretty much. We're going to get to Steve's news of the day momentarily, but first of all, I want to tell you about a project that a friend of ours has going on and let him tell you about it. It's William Owens has been on with us before here on American Family Radio. And he joins us now from Texas, I think. William, how you doing?
Blessed, Tim. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on your show today.
You're welcome. Tell our listeners about your a little bit about your background, and then I want to get into this this altar you're building.
Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord, first of all, giving all honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming soon, Tim. God's blessed me. I've been in ministry for over 25 years. I've written several books, about 15 books, and a slew of poetry by His grace. And, you know, I'm about a year and a half ago, Tim, I rode my bike from Nevada to Texas, sharing the gospel over 1,000 miles. Those one of my books actually Astonished. And I was actually in Texas about 2.5 weeks ago after the shutdown that we've experienced, and I was spending time at the altar, Tim, just praying and seeking the face of God. And the last night I spent time in prayer at the altar, the Lord put on my heart to take the altar out from the church, not that physical altar, of course, but to get an altar and take it out of the church and put it within society for people to see the altar of the Lord and invite them to come and pray. We are living in such a time that we've never seen in our generation. And it's also a very exciting time for us to evangelize, to reach the lost, and to let people know that God understands our pain. He understands our issues more so than we can. And the altar represents one thing, Tim, and that is we can't do it alone. The altar represents it is time for us to yield our hearts of hearts to God. And for the believer, for those who put faith in Christ, to carry this message out to the lost. The message that they're telling us is, I've lost hope. That's what people are really saying. And they're using all types of narratives to explain that, mm-hmm. whether it's race relation, whether it's social injustice, whatever it is, that's really not the issue. The issue is people have lost hope.
What and about that's the, what America? Amen. Well, amen. Not amen to people lost hope, but amen to your to your message there. Now, what about this physical altar that you've been building and you're taking it to the Democrat and Republican conventions? Is that right?
Absolutely. You know, when I left Texas, I came to Montgomery, Alabama. I had lunch with a dear friend, a retired Colonel Chuck Carver, and we sat down and had lunch, and I told him what God spoke to my heart. This 78-year-old warrior for the Lord said, well, I can build that. And the next day, we start building this altar in his garage in his home, and we're 95% done with the altar now. And I'm going to be pulling this altar behind my motorhome. You know, Tim, I travel full-time as an evangelist in my RV, and we're going to be pulling this behind the RV. People are contributing to this to help us make this possible. And so the Lord's put in my spirit, you know, I want you to take this throughout the country. But he really made it clear to me, I want you to take this to both Republican and Democratic conventions for a witness, for people to come and pray. We have to lead the charge as believers. We can't leave it up to the political structures of this temporal realm. We're ambassadors for Christ. And we got to look beyond the limited sphere of politics as man see it. And we have to invade these realms with opportunities for people to pray. And it's not for us to judge. We don't know what's in the very depths of a man's heart. But it's for us to make God available, for us to bring God available. So that's what we're doing. I'll be pulling this motorhome behind, I'll be pulling the altar inside of the trailer behind the motorhome. People, and it was put together in 7 pieces so I can assembly it together and then I can take it apart. It's about 8 feet long and about 6 feet high.
Now, you can go to our Facebook page, folks. Today's Issues, our Facebook page. Come on, Tim, you can do it. Come on, you really can. Facebook page. And we've got this, you can link there to the story that William is talking about, and you can see pictures of his.
Amen.
So go there, our Today's Issues Facebook page, and William Owens is our guest, and you can see the story about what he is doing. It goes to the America's altar. So when are you leaving for, where are they having that Democrat convention?
They're having it in Milwaukee. I'll be leaving from Montgomery, and we'll
need to get there before it burns down. Are you going to be there before it burns down? I'm sorry. That shouldn't be so sinister.
You know what? If the Lord say the same. He controls the fire because he is a consuming fire. So if I'm there in the midst of it, I'll be there in the midst of it. And I think the three Hebrew boys will tell you that if we're in his will, the fire can't touch us. And we can't be afraid. In fact, you know, Tim, we're engaged in spiritual warfare. In my book, Warriors Arise, I'm making available the first chapter for free for people who visit the site through your Facebook page. They'll see a link there. Join our listing, and you immediately get the first chapter of my book, Warriors Arise. And I did a video message this morning called Intensifying Our Warfare. We have to really intensify the call that God has on our life. And it's a time, you know, Matthew 11, 12 says, "For the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force." And that simply means that we've been invited to take the prize by force.
Amen.
We have all the weapons we need to win.
Well, go to our Facebook page, Today's Issues, and the link is right there. The story's right there, and you go to William's website and read all about the altar. And we'll be talking to William as he travels to Milwaukee and then to Jacksonville, Florida. Thank you, William. God bless you, brother. Have a great day.
Thanks again, Tim. Okay, I appreciate it. Bless you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Great idea.
Yeah.
I don't know where all he's going to display this, but it's going to draw some attention.
It's very difficult to get really close to these conventions. Usually they might put them where there's protesters. I don't know.
Well, there's all kind of like a circus.
The convention, you mean?
These conventions, yes. Outside the arena, they'll have all kind of people protesting and demonstrating and exhibits and and everything like that. But we'll ask William, how do you plan on bringing attention to this and getting what he wants to do is say, use this altar to say, pray for America. Christian brothers and sisters, pray for America. So, all right, Steve, what do you got, my friend?
I tell you, you guys were talking in the first hour about this church in Salinas that isn't fun enough.
California. Yeah.
I tell you, that state and the rest of this country has gone off the rails. I have the story here. This is from San Diego, California. A gentleman named Emmanuel Cafferty. He's an employee of the San Diego Gas and Electric Company. He's driving around in his truck, San Diego SDG&E, and somebody started following him and taking pictures of him. Now, he was driving with his hand out the driver's side window, and he's kind of playing with his fingers. He said he was cracking his knuckles. Now, I've asked Brent to post this on our Facebook page, too. You can go and see the picture. I'm going to show it to Tim and Ed. That's the picture. He's riding around, and this guy posts this picture online and says, "Hey, this San Diego Gas and Electric guy is showing the white power sign."
Oh, for crying.
No, he wasn't. But San Diego Power and Electric suspended him and then fired him.
No, they didn't.
They did.
You're making this up.
I am not.
Well, he ought to sue them.
Yeah.
He ought to sue the fire out of them because they have fired him for being a white supremacist. Like that guy's going to get a job anywhere ever again.
And you know what the kicker is? He's Hispanic.
So
he's Hispanic?
He's Hispanic. He's Mexican-American.
I think Hispanics are counted as white people in America.
I don't think many of them are
if you're part of the
Aryan Nation or the KKK. This is insanity.
It's run amok here in America today. Aunt Jemima was the latest victim.
Yes, and I think Uncle Ben. Is gone
isn't it,
down to
isn't it so
as well.
This is actually kind of comical that we have these huge companies, these big powerful boards and CEOs,
yeah,
and they're getting run by pure emotions.
Yeah.
All it takes is a phone call from somebody who says they're from Black Lives Matters. They don't even verify if it's...
That's all you need.
And they're, start,
and they're running for the hills.
Yeah, who do we need to fire today?
Now, okay. Let's talk about this for a moment because there is a purging. There's a cleansing going on in the U.S. and other places of supposed racist or racially insensitive items of all manner of creation. How do you like that expression? Did you like that?
It gripped me, Tim.
Inspired.
Yes.
Almost sounds, I mean, anyway, it's a little like Charles.
It was Shakespearean.
Yeah. Or Dickens. You could go either way. Or both. Okay, to Walker's point, you have a lot of corporations, and they have marketing and boards and marketing people, and they're now trying to listen to what people are saying to them about how they are part of the systemic racism in our country. And I mentioned Aunt Jemima. So let's start with that, Steve.
Aunt Jemima, as you may know, they're the ones that had the picture of a black woman with kind of the headscarf. She reminds me a little bit of Aunt Jemima as it's depicted. Mm-hmm. Reminds me of the lady that won the Academy Award for Gone with the Wind, the first black actress ever to win that. That's on their packaging. So they are.
Is Aunt Jemima a company unto itself, or is it owned by somebody?
It is owned by somebody, but I'm not sure who. But
Quaker Oats, I think.
It's a brand.
Right.
Quaker Oats?
The Quaker might own them. But anyway.
What about the Quakers? Are they upset?
I haven't asked.
The Quakers.
Because they're used. They're man.
The Quaker Oats Company.
The Quaker Oats man is on the.
Right.
What do you call them?
On the packaging.
On the oats.
Yeah.
That you make oatmeal out of.
Well, it goes on. Uncle Ben's Rice is also retiring its guy. That has a picture of a black man that's happy on the cover.
We're being serious about this. This is what's going on in our country in response to systematic racism.
Mrs. Butterworth's.
It's going to be hard for me not to
laugh. And Cream of Wheat.
Cream of Wheat? What's wrong with Cream of Wheat?
Cream of Wheat has a picture of a black man on the front.
So?
I'm not sure what that's all about. And the same thing with Uncle Ben. Uncle Ben's Rice. We had a little discussion after our story meeting this morning. I think the Aunt Jemima one, I think that probably should come in for an update. But now that's just my personal opinion. And when I was asked to defend it, why are you saying that? I couldn't. So I will admit, I just thought,
but this is having the opposite effect. So what, according to this standard, if a successful black person, male or female, starts a business and wants to put the picture of the person who's founded the business on the front of the box of the product, then we can't do that. According to this standard.
Yeah, Aunt Jemima is syrup that Americans have put on their pancakes for decades.
Mrs. Butterworth, also syrup. The parent companies of these brands, I'm reading now from an article, says the parent company said these brands reinforced racial stereotypes rooted in pro-slavery propaganda in the U.S. South predating the Civil War. Aunt Jemima and Mrs. Butterworth were based on mammy imagery, showing an obedient house slave that cared more for the white family than her own children. That's their arguments.
And I just thought it was maple syrup. I had no idea there was a philosophy and ideology behind it.
It's a worldview you're putting on your head.
Whatever these companies decide, they make their own decisions. But I just think this is getting crazy, ridiculous. And be honest with you, I don't think the vast majority of black Americans are offended by Aunt Jemima. I've never heard an outcry.
Well, you would have to go back to whoever founded the product and go into their discussions on how they're going to design the label and prove racist intent there.
Right, and we're going to use this to promote our product. So obviously we're proud of this image. This is a complimentary image because we want a positive look at our product. So we use a picture of Aunt Jemima or Miss Butterworth. Well, anyway. All right, so and Uncle Ben's is out too?
It looks like Uncle Ben's is out as well.
And I believe, that, Steve, you might know the answer to this. Aunt Jemima is going to disappear altogether as a name.
I think so.
Yeah. So it'll be replaced by some other.
Now, what about the cream of wheat? What's happened to them now?
B&G Food, the parent company of Cream of Wheat, announced that it, too, is conducting a review of its packaging.
Okay. Now, the Indian woman on Lando Lakes.
Lando Lakes Butter, right.
That's being removed?
She's gone.
Oh, she's already gone?
It's gone, yeah. She has been.
No grand jury? Nothing?
No, nothing.
Like a good night. Like the DA in Atlanta.
So again, I know.
Very good, Walker.
So I'm asking you to, folks need to understand, I'm asking Steve some questions that are unanswerable, but I do this rhetorically to make a point. Although Steve may have an answer. My question unto thee, Steve.
Sir.
Is the Indian woman on Native American woman on Lando Lakes cheese and butter. Other products.
Butter.
Well, they also make cheese.
Do they? Okay.
Yeah. Would be offensive because, now fill in the blank for me.
It would be offensive because the Indian Americans, there's no reason.
Struggling, Steve. Struggling.
Well, I would guess it's because Native Americans don't dress like that anymore. That is a throwback to an Indian squaw when they
cultural appropriation. You don't have the right, unless you're a Democrat member of Congress wearing a kente. Be.
But when you go to a Native American festival where they celebrate their heritage, they all dress like the Land O'Lakes.
They do.
Yeah, but that's them, Tim. You have no right as a white man to buy butter and put it on your toast. How dare you, sir?
This is ridiculous. nobody looks at Land O'Lakes butter or cheese and goes, and thinks anything racially insensitive about Native Americans. That's just, next thing you want to know, they're going to get rid of Washington Redskins.
Well, that's probably coming.
That's been in the works for a long time, actually.
What?
Oh, there's a big movement to rename the Redskins.
Oh, I knew that. What I find funny is NFL players who are promoting Black Lives Matters are going to play for the Washington Redskins.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And gladly take a paycheck.
and we've had this conversation before. I actually think the name Washington Redskins probably is insensitive. You know, not
well, what
a
if
problem
it was
with,
a white. If there were, imagine this, and ladies and gentlemen. Let's stand and cheer for our Washington Whiteskins. Come on, guys.
That's right.
Let's come out here.
You would.
How about this one?
The Crackers.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's stand up and cheer as the band plays for our Washington Blackskins.
Right.
Taking the field now.
Yeah. People would be that's
huh?
So that's the one kind of political correctness thing. Now, like Florida Seminoles, I don't think that's offensive. That's an actual, group.
Well, and the Redskins, as I understand it, that name has been they've surveyed Native Americans and they're not
right.
Overwhelmingly offended by that name. My point is the hypocrisy of NFL, the owner of the Redskins, Washington Redskins, he's adamantly opposed to changing their name. He's resisted for a year. Snyder, I think, is his name.
Dan Snyder, maybe.
Yeah, and so, but what I find humorous is now that the NFL and the players who take paychecks from the Reds play for the if you have real conviction, you don't play for a team named the Redskins.
Right.
If you have real conviction on racial issues, you do not take a paycheck from a team called you stand your ground or you kneel your ground.
The president was saying that he didn't mind if Colin Kaepernick came back. We'll send him to the Redskins.
Well, the NFL, if the NFL is going to be consistent, if the NFL is going to be consistent, they need to kick the Redskins out of the league.
Yeah, or force a name change.
Force anyway, name change. But this is getting okay. You got any more? Any more?
Who else has been? Anybody else being purged?
Is not that I'm aware right of.
Today? Sure. Not today.
Maybe
not
tomorrow, today. But I don't know about them.
I send Ed a cancel call.
Daily update.
daily update on who's been canceled from today.
It's a cancellation bloodbath.
It is. And it's funny to watch these left-wing celebrities who posted something in 2012 that's racially insensitive get canceled.
Yeah, or 2001. It goes all the way back.
Yeah, so and I'm not saying they didn't post something racially insensitive. I'm just saying there's no chance for forgiveness in this world,
right.
Or an apology. It's no, you said this in 2006, you are out of here.
Right.
Your life's over.
As my dad used to say, you're done for.
You're done for.
He's done for.
He's toast. All right, stick a fork in him.
Yep.
I have two audio things I'd like you to consider. This
okay,
is
we'll
the first
Steve.
One is a video of there's a black man who came out and was asking. There's a whole like 50 hospital employees standing outside a building, all holding Black Lives Matter signs, and he had a question for them. This is cut 7.
And this is a black man.
This is
way.
A black man that's talking. Cut 7.
Lives matter or just some black lives?
All lives matter.
The black lives killed by black men matter, right? Yes? The black babies killed in the abortions clinics matter, right? Thought so. The black officers killed in Minnesota, that matters too, right? Okay. But the black babies that are killed in the abortion clinics don't matter, do they, medical people? Do their lives matter? Does the future of our black babies matter? Huh? What's up? Awful quiet now, aren't they?
Who is this?
I looked.
Where did you find this, and have we put this on our Facebook page yet? We haven't yet?
No, there might be a problem with putting it on our Facebook. I edited out an unkind word.
Where did you find that? Because I know there are people listening now who want to read.
Citizen Press. If you go to Citizen Press, citizenfreepress.com, you can go there, and I think it's you see Epic Moment.
Is he like a street preacher or something?
No, I don't know who he is. I've looked.
Okay.
I can't find who he is, and I can't find who this guy is either. Chris Cuomo was preaching questioning whether or not you could peacefully protest, whether that's anywhere in the Constitution.
And CNN. CNN.
He got handed his hat by a guy eating ramen that hadn't been cooked. Listen to this.
And please, show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful. And please...
It's the First Amendment. You just got to look it up, Mr. Cuomo.
You've got to watch it.
You've
got to watch this.
We're posting this, right, Brent?
You got to watch that to appreciate it. It's so funny. And it's got this guy. It looks like in his, I don't know where he is, his mom's basement or whatever.
Right.
Maybe he's like still in college, and he's or if he, I don't know what he's doing, but he's eating his ramen noodle.
Yeah,
dry,
right out of the package. Yeah. It's still in the package.
Cuomo's saying,
"So show me where it says you
peaceful." And he goes, "It's in the Constitution because it says right to peaceably." Assemble.
He has it up on the screen right behind him, and it
Google.
Says the First Amendment, the right to peaceably assemble. And this kid says, "It's right there in the First Amendment. You might need to look it up."
Cuomo
calls him Cuomo.
And I didn't know this was a thing. Like, I asked my son, who's 30 now. He's not young. But I said, eating it right out of the packaging without cooking the noodles? And he was putting like taco sauce or something on it. I said, is that a thing? And he said, I guess it is.
Where is that on our Facebook page?
That is on our Facebook page.
Okay, it is now. Okay. Today's Issues Facebook page. Is that our music?
That is.
I think it's something like music.
We're done for.
Is there
canceled for the day.
Well, that's the music, but is there anything...
Racist about the music.
The people who recorded this music may have been white.
Okay, well, we need to investigate that.
We'll look into it.
Have a good day, everybody. See you tomorrow.